If you want to get the heart of God, you will get a heart for missions.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, this is Michael Brown. I'm changing schedule a little bit today because of my trip to Hungary, and I want to share with you some very, very special interviews that I've been doing with our missionaries who came to town over the last few weeks to join us for our 16th annual missions conference. So you're going to be edified, you're going to be encouraged, you're going to be blessed, you're going to be challenged, you're going to realize that God can use everybody and anybody, that God can use people in their weakness, that God uses people because, not because we're superstars, but because we are available. Single women in their 60s, young couples with children, God's ready to use you if you make yourself available. I won't be taking any calls this entire hour. Sit back, enjoy the broadcast. And I trust you will be richly blessed. All right, I'm good. My voice is good. Let me just talk to you for a moment about my heart for missions. When I was first saved, I wanted to witness to everybody, share the gospel with everybody. I didn't think about traveling internationally. I didn't even like traveling in those days. When God began to open my heart for the nations, I first went to Canada and Israel in 86, and then to England and Italy in 87. And then the floodgates started to open of going overseas more and more and more. I've had, I believe, over 150 trips outside of the U.S. I've probably spent a whole year of my life or more. Far more. Probably a couple years of my life with jet lag. God willing, next month make trip number 23 to India. Next year, trip number 23 to Italy. Been to so many countries around the world, and that began to get in my heart, a heart for the nations. Oh, it is so amazing to worship with believers in other parts of the world, and it's the same spirit, to see the lost come to Jesus in other parts of the world, to see people risk their lives for the gospel in other parts of the world, and to join together, to be one, to sometimes leave at the airport, you're hugging each other with tears because the relationships are so deep and so rich and so wonderful. And so many trips on the way over, I think, man, I can't keep doing this. I'm tired. I'm worn out. 30, 40 hours of travel, 15-hour time change, get off the plane, start preaching. I'm tired. And as I'd be coming home, I'd think, I'll do this the rest of my life. I will do this the rest of my life. So it's been my privilege now, leading schools of ministry, to raise up and send out laborers to the nations. And our school, Fire School of Ministry, sends out laborers all across America, but somehow we've specialized in raising up and sending out laborers. And a high percentage now of our laborers, of our grads, are going to the Middle East. They've just caught a fresh burden to do that. And one of our grads gave his life for the Muslim world. And I believe his seed that was planted is now growing again, is now bringing about an amazing series of men, women, families saying, hey, we want to go and we want to touch the Muslim world. So you're going to be richly, richly blessed. And let me encourage you to stand with us and sow financially into our ministry. The first fruits of every dollar that comes into our ministry, the first fruits goes right back out to support our missionaries around the world. Most everyone that I'll be interviewing in this next hour, these are missionaries that we support, and that means that you support. So when you pray for us, you're also praying for them. When you donate, your one-time gift, or as a monthly torchbearer, as one of our monthly support team members, you are helping with world missions, literally around the globe. Men and women making an incredible impact for the gospel, and in America, reaching the lost as well. To stand with us, to partner with us, go to the website right now, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on donate. You'll be blessed by these interviews. Give up.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am talking today with Alice Limpert, one of our faithful missionaries serving in Tanzania, Africa. She's been with me on The Line of Fire a few times, has an amazing story of how God called her out as a single woman, as a beautician, and called her to Africa, of all places, the one place that she wasn't going to go. God called her there. She's been serving there for some years now. And like all of us, it's an amazing thing, Alice. You're vibrant. You're full of life. But actually, we're all getting older, not younger.
Well, according to all of eternity.
So, Alice, yes. How many years have you been in Tanzania now?
I am 13 years.
13 finished. Years. That's amazing. And how old are you now?
66.
66.
Yeah.
Full of life, vigor.
Yeah.
What are you doing in Tanzania these days?
Actually, God has just blown our minds with the work now of sex trafficking, going to the red light district in Moshi, Tanzania. And we opened a home last year called House of Victory. And we were on a huge learning curve, trying to figure out how to do this, just seeking God every day. We don't know what to do. We've never done stuff like this before. And we actually, out of 11 ladies that came off the streets and into the house, two of them finished the entire program, graduated.
Really?
And now they are going to be our interns for our new class coming in December.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Before we rejoice in their victories.
Yes.
What made it so hard for the other nine? You're giving them a new life. They've got a roof over their heads. They don't have to be sleeping with men. They've got their dignity back. But obviously, there are a lot of things that you didn't understand.
Yes. One of those things was the damage that comes to the psyche, to the brain, by being raped night after night, 10, 12, 14 times a night, is the fight and flight reaction with the brain connectors. They almost couldn't handle somebody being so nice to them and loving them and caring for them. And it was like they almost had to get back to what was familiar. It's a very strange thing. We're actually learning more and more and more about what vitamins, what natural elements that God has already provided for us that we can give the brain, like melatonin, L-lysine, things like that. And then other GABA and things like that that can actually help the brain heal supernaturally. Most people would think it would take years and years and years of counseling to bring these ladies to a place where they can actually really shine for Jesus, but God has done a supernatural work in the two lives of the ladies that stayed. The others were more fearful than anything else.
All right, and now as you understand that, especially as you have people who've gone through it, they're the best ones to reach out to their own. I was reading a book by Don Wilkerson, some of his life story about Teen Challenge, and he said one reason he loves to have former addicts in his program is because they understand the lies, they understand how addicts think, and they can help them. Well, these women who were bound by sex trafficking and prostitution and the abuse they were suffering, they obviously can minister to other ladies. So tell me about these two.
Yes.
Where were they when you met them? Where are they today?
They were on the streets in the red light district in Moshi, and they were part of a group that we would go maybe 3 to 4 nights a week. We were just hearing the Holy Spirit lead us what nights to go. And we began conversations with them. We began just sharing the love of God with them. Just no preaching, really. Just really loving them. Arms around them. Shoulders crying. They want out. They don't even know how they got in. They didn't want to be in. They didn't choose to be in, but they're in. And now they want out. And the reality is that we don't have the same kind of mafia that is in operation around the rest of the world, but there is the controlling element of those people that without, you know, saying too much, their lives are at danger.
Yeah.
Once they say, no, I'm coming out of this, there are people who are after them.
Mm-hmm.
We had a woman who was pregnant, and she birthed her child in House of Victory, and the man who not only impregnated her but ruled her life threatened to kill the baby because it was a girl. He wanted a boy. And it was very dangerous. So, you know, we were very careful about where our location is. We've changed houses this year. We'll likely change house every year just for the safety of the girls that come out. But you mentioned Teen Challenge, and I want to make a connection here. I'm seeing God use what's already there. We had some people with us in Tanzania who are directing an orphanage, and they knew some of the top people in Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge gave us their entire program.
Really?
And allowed us to have it translated into Swahili and are allowing us to use it. And we're praying that this may be the beginning of addictive lifestyles ending in this part of Africa, because we are gaining knowledge and wisdom on how God can set the captive free if you have this intense program. So we are using the Teen Challenge program. And it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, and what's so interesting, Alice, is as I'm watching your own journey from when you used to cut my hair and other leaders in Pensacola, Florida, when you were in the ministry school and then working with the missions organization, and then God sends you out to Africa. So it's a stretch when he sends you out.
Oh, my goodness.
Then you get familiar with things, and then it's another stretch. So
yes,
that seems to be the pattern, that once you get, okay, I can do this. With God's help, I can do this. He said, good, let's stretch you again. And he's still stretching you, isn't he?
Yes. It was quite a shock that the Holy Spirit told me I was going to go out on the streets. As you know, I've suffered with my knees for a number of years.
Yeah.
Well, in January, I had a bilateral knee replacement, and now I have the energy of a 25-year-old again.
Wow.
And I feel like I'm 35.
Uh-huh.
I look like I'm 45. But it's a whole new life with great joy that God is really allowing me to do this work with these young people. And many of the ladies look like they're 40, but they're really only like 20, 21. Mm. And the idea that there's a mothering that he's given to me, which is supernatural, and I can love them as a true mother would, which they've never known. And it's an amazing thing that I have the energy to go out at 9:30 at night and stay out till after midnight, 1, 2 in the morning, and really engage with these ladies. And now, of course, because I've been there long enough, the Swahili is better and I'm able to communicate. And it's just an amazing thing. When you think, okay, my age is 66, I should be nearing the end. And yet God is saying, no, this is a new beginning. I'm giving you a new thing to do, a new element of my spirit that you've never known before. And watch me. He's saying to us, watch me. Watch what I'm going to do. Don't look at anybody else's pattern. Don't look at anybody else's success. I want you to see what I'm doing here. And that is just, it's so amazing to us. You know, we had someone come and do a little short video because we're trying to raise funds for the house. And we had it on the air just 2 days ago in 24 times two, so that's 48 hours. We've had over 4,100 shares, and we're reaching over 10,000 people in just 2 days.
Yeah.
And it's the heart of God for these women all around the world. It's the heart of God. And this is the time. This is the season. They're going to get free. When they get free, we're already planning and talking about how are we going to reach out to these guys who are trying to stop them.
Mm.
So we have a number of men in the church. International Christian Center is growing. We have a number of men who feel like God is speaking to them that they need to go out and do the same thing for these men. And some of them are police officers. Some of them are motorcycle drivers. Some of them are their boyfriends, so-called. They need also to hear about the love of God. And they need also to have a revolution happen in their life. And it's the revelation knowledge of God, because God has already gone before us.
Mm-hmm.
He's already set it up for us. He's already tilled the soil.
Yeah.
He said, my harvest is ready. Can you go gather them in for me? And so it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what you've already been through or whatever. God is going to, you know, he's giving me energy that I never thought I would have. Seriously. And the passion for his heart, which I've really never known to this level before. And it's really amazing.
And along the way, you've adopted a daughter too.
Oh, goodness, yes. Gloria. She's 19 now.
That's amazing.
And so we've been together a little over 7 years. And she's now doing her Form 5 education in Tanzania, pre-university classes, so that, you know, she still has a hope to be a doctor. And that's, you know, it's all God. I can't make any decisions without his counsel. And so he'll arrange it. He'll take care of every of it. But she's doing wonderfully. She's blooming like a flower. There's been a couple of 19-year-old hiccups, but I gave her a glass of water, and she got over it.
Good for her. Well, just again, you know what's interesting, though, and we're just about out of time, but what's interesting to me is the early challenges seem to challenge you more. Now the bigger they get, the easier they become because you've just learned he's trustworthy.
Yes.
And God's with you. Hey, friends, you can connect with Alice Limpert by going to our missions website. That's fire-international.org. The great, great, great majority of the folks there, all grads from our ministry school, now serving around the world. Alice Limpert, L-I-M-P-E-R-T, fire-international.org. Just some of the larger fruit of the ministry that we founded here and that you are part of 5 days a week right here on the Line of Fire. We'll be right back.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I continue to have the joy of sitting with our fire missionaries from around the world. I'm speaking with one of our dear missionaries, always with a great smile, always with great stories, Hetty Rook. And Hetty has an interesting history. Hetty, what country are you from?
I'm from the Netherlands.
From the Netherlands. You were married?
I was married.
And your husband passed away?
Yes.
All right. And then it's kind of over then. You know, you had your time together with your husband. You could serve the Lord, but that's just the beginning. After that, your husband passes away, you come to the States, you come to our ministry school, and then you go to China.
Yes.
And serve there. And folks, I mean serve. I mean courageous. I mean we would always follow your adventures with awe because you just went for it. Sometimes it was dangerous. You went for it. What's happened in the journey since?
I lived in China for 8 years, and during those 8 years, in 2010, actually, the Lord started to speak to me to change direction.
After 8 years, I mean, you learn the culture, you learn some of the language.
Yes.
And then after 8 years, what happens?
Well, he started to speak to me and he said, you go to Israel. And this was actually a country of which I never thought of.
Interesting.
And I knew God does have a plan with Israel, but I was not interested or really close to it. Mm-hmm. And so I was with big question marks, why Israel?
But you knew it was the Lord calling you.
Well, the first time when he was calling me, then I thought, well, let's wait for confirmation. Mm-hmm. I'm in China and I don't want to go.
Yeah.
And he gave several times. He actually awoken me and reminded me and said, you have to go. And so finally, he closed the doors for me. In a particular way.
Yeah, he knows how to do that, doesn't he?
Yes, if we don't understand or don't believe or whatever, then he tries to do it for us, and then finally we will go. Yeah.
So how long have you been in Israel now?
A year.
All right. I know this is a big question, and it's really difficult to answer in a simple way, but the cultures of China and the cultures of Israel are very different. And then again, very different from Holland and very different from America. What could you say got your attention about the culture of China, the good or the bad, and then compare that to Israel? What's gotten your attention, the good or the bad, in Israel in a year?
If I have to be really brief, then I can say when you live in China as a missionary, then everything is a little bit hidden. You know they watch you, you know they know you, and but they are always somewhere behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. You do a lot, but you know you are being watched. But if you go to Israel, everything is in the open.
Mm.
It is direct. The danger is direct. The people are direct. They mainly have their hearts on the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
As in China, they have the shame culture and they are avoiding direct confrontations.
Yes.
So this is one of the differences we have between China and Israel.
Yeah, and it's readily apparent. I mean, it's a great insight. It may take a little while if you don't understand the Chinese culture to understand that, and saving face and things like that, and the secret way of doing things. And then the level of openness. I mean, you might think these two guys really kill each other. They're just having a dispute after a traffic accident, and then they're best of friends afterwards. It is different. Have you been in any of the areas where they're very religious Jews, very modest culture, praying, studying all day, very different than the rest of the secular Israeli culture? Have you been in that environment as well?
I've walked through the areas. Mm-hmm. I see them each Saturday on Shabbat. To personally know them is very hard. They are not really open to have people like us over.
Yeah.
And but on the other hand, I have met sometimes the Orthodox Jews really helping me out.
Really?
I was really surprised sometimes that I needed to have some directions, needed to know where to get off the bus. And suddenly I asked the bus driver, suddenly this Orthodox Jew came and sat next to me. He said, "Wait, I will tell you where to get off." And I was highly surprised that he even sat next to me.
Yeah, sitting next to a woman. And then interacting with a stranger like that.
Yes.
But obviously wanting to help.
Yes, he wanted. And one time I dropped some money on the floor and this Orthodox Jew picked it up, but he didn't give it to me literally
in
my
hand.
He put it on the chair next to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because he couldn't touch your hand.
No.
That would be forbidden.
Yes.
Yeah. And of course, being hard towards our message would be looked at as the message of the archenemy. Mm-hmm. Jesus would be looked at as an archenemy.
Yeah.
And that what we're trying to do is destroy Judaism and destroy Jewish people. The way some of them have said it, Hitler wanted our bodies, you want our souls. And I understand how they view us, and there are a lot of hurdles to overcome. So what is it that the Lord has you doing? Why did he send you to Israel?
This is, first and foremost, that I was a little bit passive towards Israel. Mm. I didn't understand. I had, though, huge questions about how it is about the Old Testament and the New Testament. How far, as a Christian, a Gentile, should I do the Old Testament or not? Mm-hmm. Should I keep the Shabbat? Should I, how to teach from the Old Testament towards the New Testament? People are telling so many things and said, well, yes, the Old Testament, Jesus came not to abolish, but I never knew exactly why, how, what. Those mm-hmm. questions I had, I still have sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
And but now in Israel, I've seen a lot of things, and step by step, I start to understand a little bit more about the differences and start to know, have a deeper understanding about the Old Testament. And I've been taught right now that the Old Testament is but love. It's all about the love of God towards his people. Mm. As previous, I always thought it is more condemnation, it is more punishment when making a mistake or something. But if you read well, then you see time after time, out of love of God, that he's warning them, leading them as children and helping them as children through the difficulties, but still them not obeying, and the Lord helping them through, but never forsaking them, never leaving them. And this was for me actually great.
It's a great revelation for our own lives, but there you are in Israel, and now you see the reality that he hasn't left them. He's brought them back in his mercy. Friends, I want you to consider Hetty's example. She's a widow, and rather than just saying, okay, I've lost my husband, I'm all alone, not much I can do with my life, she's been trained for ministry. She served as a missionary in China, a single woman missionary, and now in Israel. Get behind Hetty's work. Go to this website, fire-international.org, fire-international.org, and look up Hetty Rook, R-O-O-K. Pray for her, and perhaps the Lord will lay it on your heart to be one of her monthly supporters on the front lines as a world changer.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, this is Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, deviating from our normal schedule today as we bathe you with missionary testimonies. Grads from Fire School of Ministry are workers serving around the world. Brownsville Revival School of Ministry, which became Fire School of Ministry. They're grads from our school serving around the world, making an incredible impact, being used by the Lord. And as you pray for us, as you contribute to our ministry, you are part of this, because the first fruits of everything that comes in, we send out to our workers, to support our workers around the world. Before we go back to a couple more great interviews we have for you, let me bathe you in some missions-related quotes. Oh, how about John Wesley? Give me 100 men who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I will shake the world. Boy, isn't that awesome? And that's the bottom line. We love God. We hate sin. We want to reach the lost. Oh, let me just scroll down here a little bit. Some of these quotes just have stirred my heart over the years. D.L. Moody said this: a man who wants to work for God can find work, and nobody can stop him. He also said, I believe that for one man killed by overwork in the cause of Christ, 10,000 die from laziness. I am all for moderation. I am all for wisdom. Absolutely. But come on, let's go for it. Let's give ourselves for souls. Spurgeon said this: oh, that the Lord would saturate us through and through with an undying zeal for the souls of men. And David Brainerd said this: I'll spend my life to my last moments in dens and caves of the earth if the kingdom of Christ may be advanced. Nicholas Zinzendorf: I have only one passion. It is he alone. He lived to bring to the Lamb the reward of his labor, the reward of his sacrifice, and that is our calling. C.H. McIntosh said this: a coward heart will not do for the day of battle. A doubting spirit will not stand in conflict. Time to stand. Time to honor God. Time to do what's right. And Amy Carmichael said, if there were less of what seems like ease in our lives, they would tell more for Christ and souls. In other words, let's go for it. Let's live our lives as if eternity is real. I can assure you that many of us will stand before God on that day of accounting and wish we could go back and do it all over and wish we had another opportunity and wish we could have seen eternity more clearly. It'll be too late then. So many lives we could have touched. So many people could have been impacted. So many souls could have been saved. We missed our opportunities. Oh, we're still his. We'll still be with him as his children. But wouldn't it be great to stand before him and he says, well done, good and faithful servant? Wouldn't it be great to get to the end of your life and be able to say with Paul, I fought the fight, finished the course, I've done what God has called me to do, and there's a crown of righteousness stored up for me. Oh, how beautiful, how glorious, how wonderful. Friends, that is the heart of God. That's what he desires for you and me. The excellency of the power is his. The excellency of the power is his power. It's by his grace, it's by his spirit that we do it. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. But friends, right where you live, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your apartment building, in your school, in your place of business, you can share the gospel. You can be a missionary. If God's not sending you to the ends of the earth, he's sending you to be a missionary right where you live. If you can't get out of your house, you can pray for world missions. You can financially support world missions. Everybody gets involved with the Great Commission. Jesus says this: all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of the nations. That's our calling, to be his witnesses where we live: Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Start where you are. Be a witness. Spread the gospel. And the kingdom of God will continue to advance all over the earth until Jesus returns, at which point the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, even as the waters cover the seas. Great interviews coming your way. Stay tuned.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Today, I want to welcome back to The Line of Fire fellow New Yorkers who are serving a forgotten people in America, a people near and dear to God's heart, Native Americans. Elliot and Crystal, welcome back to The Line of Fire.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
All right, where are you from originally?
I'm from Bronx, New York.
And?
Brooklyn, New York.
All right, so it was an upheaval when mm-hmm. God called you out of there, called you to North Carolina
yes.
to be part of our Fire community, Fire School of Ministry, and serving in the ministry here with us. But then there's even more upheaval when he called you to?
South Dakota.
South yes. Dakota. All right, how long have you been there now?
Over a year.
Yes, 15 months.
Got it. All right, and longevity, showing that you care about these people, being there on a regular basis, why is it so important for them?
They are used to the in and out. They're used to church groups coming, spending a week, 2 weeks. They're used to missionaries giving up. So when they see that you really love them and you're serious, they see it by longevity. They see it by you being there for the long haul and being there for them.
Did they have the larger perception that the white man and Elliot, you're Hispanic, right?
Yeah.
But the white man breaks his promises. Does that still linger when now you come and share the gospel?
Very
yes,
much so.
Big time.
So, I mean, did they tell you that, or you just know it's in the culture?
They'll say it.
Yeah.
What will they tell you?
Well, they'll just refer to the white man's religion, and they'll refer back to treaties that were broken between them and the white man. And so, yeah, they'll say things like that.
And here they are living in terrible conditions.
Yes, and poverty level.
So, I mean, it's one of these things that's so staggering to hear about. The moment I hear about it, I think everybody needs to do something about it. So few actually go. But first, just tell me about the struggles, Elliot, that the people live with, the strongholds in the culture there.
There is an obsession with death, and there is a lot of dying. There's a lot of suicide, dying due to disease, alcoholism, cirrhosis, different things. So there is a lot of death. And then the culture itself, what they do is, they'll have like a long period of mourning, and then every year they will celebrate that person's death by mourning again. And they feel like they have to feel bad, they have to feel down because they're mourning. So they'll force, kind of almost like put it on themselves. So there is that's a real stronghold, just the focus on death. It basically makes depression and being in pain the norm, mm-hmm. and it's acceptable to be that way. And if you're not that way, it's like you're seen as something's wrong with you. Well, why are you happy? We're focusing on our cousin's death right now. So that's a big stronghold. And of course, there is, with that comes the alcoholism. It's the way they deal with pain or getting high, drug addiction.
Gambling.
Yeah, gambling. A lot of abuse, spousal abuse, children are abused, mm-hmm. rape, molestation.
And then with all of that and the poverty, depression, high suicide rate.
Very high suicide rate.
Right. Yeah. And then again, just kind of a forgotten people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Crystal, what have you seen with the ladies as you've begun to relate to them as a friend?
There's definitely a hardness of heart because of the abuse that they encounter. I mean, mostly everyone that I've met and talked to has been abused, whether physically or molested. And so you're coming in and they are used to being abused years and years and years. So there's a lot of walls that are up. But once you get close to them and really show that you care about them, they'll really start to open up, and they're very honest people. There's no facades. They're very honest with their struggles, with what they're going through. So that is a positive thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And who is Jesus to them, Elliot?
See, unfortunately, there is a lot of syncretism. So to some, Jesus is the white man's God, but to others that accept him, he's another, just a can be almost seen as another God.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he does want to help us, so he kind of gets thrown into the mix. Tocantula is the what they who they call God, and that means grandfather. So they can also believe that Jesus is just another name for Tekonshala. So yeah, there's a lot of confusion when it comes to who Jesus actually is.
And what do they think about the Bible?
Many, of course, think it's white man's book, written by white man, just a book. Mm. Others will revere it as a holy book. But again, it still gets thrown in with the witchcraft and the ancestor worship and all those kinds of things.
So how are you overcoming that?
So the main thing is really pointing out, pointing out that Jesus, number one, was not a white man. And focusing on who he is and who he does, focusing on those scriptures about how he is the God of all people, he's the Lord of all creation, just really cutting down those lies with the truth of who Christ really is. And a lot of times when they realize, when they realize that, there is oftentimes a light that comes on, and many do recognize, like, oh, okay, he's not what I thought he was.
Mm. So Crystal, as you're there, these are challenging circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
It's generally easier to pull someone down than to lift someone up. I mean, if you're just dealing with gravity. So sometimes the spiritual environment can be such that it breeds discouragement. You see breakthroughs, but not as quick as you want, not as many as you want.
Mm-hmm.
Someone goes forward, then goes backwards. What do you and the team do, and what do you and Elliot do to stay encouraged and to stay full of faith?
Well, shortly after we were there, when you're hearing everyone's problems and, you hear them blaming God, and I started to almost struggle with believing that God wanted to help and save everyone and he can heal and deliver, because you hear all this negative. And I had to just stop and start to proclaim who God is and realize God is never wrong. It's never God's fault when these things are happening. He's always willing to save and deliver and heal. And we make choices in life that, sometimes prevent that from happening. And so just getting back to that reality of who God is, always proclaiming his goodness, his faithfulness. He's always good. He's a good father. Going into the word, worshiping God, and just fixing our eyes on Jesus and not on everything that's going on around us. You have to be so deliberate about just getting your eyes back on the Lord and who he says he is in his word, praying for one another, strengthening each other in that way. We pray for each other a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is very difficult there, and it can get so overwhelming listening to all these stories and all this abuse and just seeing the poverty. It's very overwhelming at times. And so you just go back to Jesus, to looking at him, to loving on him, and just letting him come and fill you with peace again and hope and faith to believe that even though we may not see things happening all the time, he still is working.
Yeah, amen. And Elliot, what happens when one of these Native Americans really comes to faith?
When they do, I mean, the main thing you want to do is discipleship, just really being there for them and going through the word and teaching them all he's commanded, because their family is coming against them big time.
Yeah.
Family, friends, right away, oh, why are you serving that white man's God? Come on, you're telling me you ain't getting drunk anymore? Come on, man, have a beer, stop fooling around. There's just a lot of peer pressure, a lot of persecution and peer pressure. I mean, sometimes the persecution can get violent. That doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes it can get to that point. But often it's just a lot of verbal persecution.
Yeah. And how many Native Americans live in this one area?
There's over 40,000, I believe is the number right now.
In Pine Ridge.
And they are called the?
Lakota, Ogallala Lakota.
And recently you were especially honored. What happened?
Yes, not too long ago I was given a Lakota name, which is Akisita Wakan Wahihoshi, I believe is the way to say it. But it means warrior with a sacred message.
Mm.
And the woman is a Lakota woman, an elder. And she also gave me the scripture to go along with it, which is go into you all the world and make disciples of all the nations. Yeah.
So, Crystal, you were married to a warrior with a sacred message, but you knew that already.
I did.
And you're going to get a name one of these days?
Yes. Soon? It's in the works for the women to
all
have
right.
a ceremony.
Make sure you're right and tell us.
Yes.
Listen, friends, this is missions work. This is as much as you can go into all the world, and it's right in our backyard. And again, if there's a forgotten people in America, and one that we should feel a responsibility for, it's the Native Americans. Friends, here's how you can find out about what Elliot and Crystal are doing. Maybe you want to be a part of it. Maybe you want to pray for them regularly. Maybe you want to join their monthly support team. I assure you, they're living on little, and even less financial pressure goes a long way to bring encouragement. So go to fire-international.org, fire-international.org, Elliot and Crystal Morales. Normal spelling for Morales. Don't have to worry about the Indian name there. M-O-R-A-L-E-S. Find out what they're doing. Pray for them. The Lord lays it on your heart to support them. You can do it right through our missions website, fire-international.org. And let's pray for a great harvest among the Native Americans.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Once again, I have the joy of sitting with one of our Fire International missionaries serving in the Philippines. We've often had guests on from the Philippines because we have our largest team there between men, women, and children, over 50 people serving in many, many different capacities. And I've spoken over these recent days with a couple of other single women missionaries. And it's important to hear their stories because actually three that I think of I've interviewed recently, now a fourth today, because many times you think, well, what can I do? I'm just a woman, or I'm just single, or what can I do? Or I don't have ministry background, what can I do? Whoever you are, if you give yourself to God and to needy people, God will use you. I'm sitting with Sandra Carroll. So I've had the permission from the other lady. Sandra, how old are you?
56.
56 years old. Now, something very significant. You come to our ministry school, you graduate, you have a burden for the Philippines. From the time it was in your heart to go, how long was it before you were able to actually get there full time?
4 years.
4 years. What did those 4 years feel like?
It was very hard at waiting, but the Lord kept reminding me to embrace what He has for the moment. I would say now that every bit of that was preparation, learning to pray, learning to have compassion for a people group that I didn't understand in an inner city area. He was preparing me all of that time.
And I remember as we'd seek to raise funds to help get you started, get you out on the field, thinking, okay, she wants to go. What's happening? You know, you're not some big fundraiser. Okay, you call all your connections and get the money and set up your itinerary and speaking. You're basically going to God and saying, Lord, here I am, available. So the support's come in. You've been able to go over to the Philippines full time. Do you primarily have a public preaching ministry there?
No, I do not.
So what has God called you to do?
I would say that my most significant role is prayer. Along with that would be mentoring young women, one-on-one relationships. We have an orphanage and loving and holding babies and just praying over them and nurturing them and speaking life into them.
What's your nickname?
Mama Sandra.
Who gave that to you?
The young Filipino women. So many of them were in desperate need of an older woman who could be a mother role to them.
Yeah. Now, a lot of folks don't know much about the Philippines, but thousands of islands, 7,000 islands. I thought it was 3,000, and one of the missionaries corrected me earlier, 7,000 islands, largely Catholic, but a very superstitious, traditional Catholicism, so that it's not, for most of them, a living relationship with the Lord. What about the role of mothers, the need for mothers there, the need for mentors? Do you see a lot of these gals are just looking for that in their lives?
Oh, yes. Yes. Even in the very first days when I arrived 7 years ago, I had young women coming to me saying, we've been praying for someone. We've been praying for someone who could pour into us. A woman who isn't raising young children and tending to a family, a woman who could just give them their attention they needed. They were coming to me. They gave me the name. They were coming to me and saying, we needed a mama. And we've been praying and asking for a mama. For years, I thought that that was my limitation, my age and my singleness. Yet I found that that was the very thing that I was needed for when I got there.
Isn't that remarkable?
Yeah.
Friends, I hope you're listening. Whoever you are, whatever your life situation is, the things that you might think are the very reasons God can't use you, he's saying these are the very reasons I can use you and want to use you. It's got to be gratifying to see people that need you and that love you and that are being changed. What's it like to be on the receiving end of their reciprocal love? You've loved them. Now they love you back.
Oh, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. You know, they were teenagers, young 20s, then going through college and struggling with ministry roles, then married, now mothers. I'm carrying them through these different seasons of life. And now I'm grandma to a few children over there.
Yeah.
Because of that, it's these are long-term relationships, not relationships that are based on an event.
Yeah.
This is a pouring into them over time, loving them, guiding them, praying with them. Oh, it's wonderful.
So I could come over there and preach, and maybe we have a big meeting and thousands of people, and then maybe I do an intensive teaching, and everyone's thrilled, and Dr. Brown, thank you, and you've made a great impact on our lives. But the real impact is going to be the people that are there day and night, week in, week out, for a period of years. They're the ones that are really going to shape and mold lives, and that's what discipleship, that's about. What God's family is really about. Some of these kids, these orphans that are now taken in the orphanage, little babies that you're holding and praying over, how did they end up in the orphanage?
We have just five at the moment. We're just getting started with this. Every one of them had been abandoned.
Why would they be abandoned?
They were abandoned at birth. These are little boys abandoned at birth.
And abandoned primarily because of no funds to raise them or...
Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes the mother's been hiding the pregnancy. A good portion of children are born in small clinics rather than in hospitals, and they come in, give birth, and leave the babies behind.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing. And then you're even seeing some that are being kidnapped for human trafficking. So we're hearing about this more and more, that, mm-hmm. that there are kids that go missing at mm-hmm. birth, especially girls, that go missing at birth, and they're going to be sold into human trafficking. And I know some of the teams there are working with human trafficking, and you're getting just kids that are a few years old that have been sold into this. It's mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
But think of it. Instead of this kid being abandoned, not only does this kid have a home where they'll be cared for, you actually get to carry these kids around and pray over them.
Yes. Yes, it's a great joy. It's a great privilege. It's amazing that God would call me to such a thing, and that how he would value that.
Yeah. And the ministry of prayer, why is that so important?
Oh, we can have all the meetings in the world. We can have all the events. We can have all the programs. But if it does not have a foundation of prayer, it cannot be sustained. It becomes our own works. It's not... It just is absolutely necessary. These missionaries, I support a lot of missionaries there in prayer. And it's a hidden place. It's behind things. It's not out there on the stage. But they need that to do what they do.
I had heard about a woman with a healing ministry many years ago. And she was accused of having some kind of gimmick or secret. She said, "You want to see the secret?" And she went downstairs in the basement, and there were all these grandmothers praying. She goes, "That's my secret. That's the hidden secret." And really, you can touch the whole world alone on your knees in your room.
Yes.
Maybe we're talking to a shut-in right now, maybe talking to someone that's in a lot of pain and can't get around. Mm. But alone in their room, they can be a force for world missions. We need funds for our ministry every day, but if I could get any one thing, I'd get more people praying for us. So it makes a massive difference. I can't believe you, after those 4 years, you've been there seven already.
Yeah.
Just amazing. So you're now seeing those kids come up, and the mothers raising their kids and being a spiritual mom and grandmom. We are really proud of you. And I'm just so thrilled to see you. You stepped out. You've obeyed God. He's gone before you. And you're doing a work that's going to last through the generations. If you want to find out more about what Sandra's doing or get behind her, go to fire-international.org. fire-international.org, and Sandra Carroll, you can find out about more of what she's doing and become part of her support team.
My bottom line today, if you really have God's heart, you will have his heart for the lost. You will have his heart for the Great Commission.